Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Visibility, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on worms, intestinal parasites, when we come back. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. Now, our national leaders have subscribed to a plan created by the Club of Rome, the United Nations, the Trilateral Commission, and a whole host and plethora of other lesser policy-making think tanks to reduce the Earth's population over the next 50 years by 90%. That's correct, 90% over the next 50 years. Now, let's not delude ourselves into believing that you and I are going to stop all of these mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians in their insane scheme to enslave the world and impose a worldwide tyranny, a new world order upon all of us. But we don't have to participate in our own demise. We don't have to help finance them, help them, or stand helplessly by and do nothing either. It's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let you and I prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now by simply calling 417-273-4967. And remember that my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for your free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about worms, intestinal parasites. And I showed you 56 symptoms that come from intestinal parasites. 56 symptoms that are carefully documented by the American Medical Society and other health care professionals and medical doctors and PhDs that write books on parasitology. You probably haven't heard much about parasites, and that's because parasites cause a lot of the symptoms that we suffer from. And then we go to the doctor, and he prescribes an antibiotic, or he prescribes some other kind of regimen or therapy that makes him money that he can treat for the rest of your life. But it never cures the symptom. The symptom always remains. It never goes away, so you're never cured. But you have this perpetual problem, like epilepsy, caused by internal parasites. But we never kill the parasite, so as long as the parasite is there, you always have epilepsy, for which we can always sell you epilepsy medication to control the seizures. Not eliminate the seizures, not eliminate the problem, not eliminate the cause, but to perpetually keep you as a cash cow for life with epilepsy. Or maybe you have chronic fatigue syndrome or migraine headaches, for which we can sell you medications for the rest of your life, because when you're in pain, you're suffering. You want relief, and you're willing to pay for it, or you're willing to have the taxpayers pay for it for you. Now, I suppose that many people like sickness and disease. That's why we have hypochondriacs. Now, personally, I don't like pain. I'm very sensitive to pain. I never did care very much for it, never got used to it, never got in the habit. So I try to avoid as much pain, suffering, and anguish as I possibly can. Being a coward at heart, I try to avoid suffering. So when I got this report on internal parasites, and I read it, and I said, well, my God, this seems to be pretty simple. We could probably get rid of these parasites a whole lot easier than we could get rid of epilepsy by taking epilepsy medication. And indeed, that's the case. Now, here's an interview with a parasite expert, Dr. Hazel Parcells, Ph.D. Got that Ph.D. piled higher and deeper. Now, this woman is real smart. She's got a Ph.D. And she got it, I guess, in worms. And Dr. Parcells is 101 years old. You got that? 101 years old, a Ph.D. She's real smart, got letters after her name, and she's going to give us an interview and tell us, well, here's what I know. Here's what I've observed in my medical career as it relates to these parasites. So Dr. Parcells is 101 years old. She's been researching worms for the last 30 years. She's an author, lecturer, teacher, and researcher. I talked to her a few days ago on the problem of worms. Question, how many people would you say have worms in America? Dr. Parcells, about 90% of one kind or another. Question. I've talked to a few colonic therapists, and they feel the figure is more like 99%. Dr. Parcells. Well, I was trying to be nice. I've been a colon therapist for a long time also, so I've seen plenty of worms too. Question. Has the problem of worm been getting worse in recent years in this country? Parcells. Well, in the past 20 years, the problem of worms has been building up faster than you might realize. You know, I have developed a very different way of evaluating these things. I don't do it from a disease standpoint. I do it by evaluating the amount of energy that radiated from a person and from their environment. Now, many worms circulate in the bloodstream at night. That's why blood tests do not pick them up. Question. What are the most common worms that you find, doctor? Parcells. You find two. You find the tapeworms, and you find the heavy ones and the smaller ones, and you find round worms. These are what I call the flesh worms. They don't go through the system as much as they go through the flesh. They go through your body. They're associated with the musculature or the lymphatic system. Question. Well, tell me first, doctor, about the tapeworms. Parcells. Well, you have the big pork tapeworms. These are the heavy ones. Then you also have the beef tapeworm. And you have 10 different groups, and you have your choice. We found that the Polaria type of roundworm is what is behind the cause of leprosy. Question. Leprosy? Parcells. Yes. The roundworm. If you go back through history and you read, you will find that leprosy is frequently found in countries where the people go barefooted a lot. Question. So they pick it up through their skin. Parcells. That's right. It goes right through the skin into the body. Question. Is that why so many Hawaiians used to get the disease? Then Parcells said, I'm sure. Question. Can worms and parasites ever get into your blood? Parcells. There are some parasites that do, yes. They're the night feeders. You can't detect them unless you go for a blood test after a certain hour. Question. What does that mean, night feeders? Parcells. I mean by that certain worms come into your blood circulation at night after you've gone to bed and gone to sleep. I've done a lot of work in that field. Now, worms are very toxic to your system. And the first question is, well, what type of worm comes out at night? Parcells. It's a roundworm, but it's a certain type of roundworm. It doesn't circulate in your tissue. You know, all those worms have families and they lay their eggs in the intestinal tract. So you don't know when they're going to hatch and you don't know where they're going to hatch. Question. So how can a person get rid of all of the worms in their bodies? Dr. Parcells. Well, we have a special program that eliminates them. A person takes nothing but milk for 8 days. Now, the worms love milk. It draws the worms out. Then, at the same time, you take a few herb capsules, which digests the worms. It's very mild and very healing, and it works very well. The worms are mostly pre-digested when they are eliminated. Question. What does a person feel like when they're dewormed? Parcells. Well, of course, they feel much better. Listen, many of the incurable diseases are worm-based. I find that 95% of incurable conditions have intestinal parasites at their base. So I begin by cleaning up the worms, and the rest of it is very easy. Any degenerative process can be associated with worms, and here's what I found in my research. No worm or parasite can exist out of its own environment. So if you change the environment, the worm cannot exist. Worms live in a degenerative environment. They are very toxic to your system. If a person eats raw meat, do they deserve worms? Question. In your booklet, you mentioned that washing your fruits and vegetables with Clorox and water helps. Dr. Parcells. Well, it helps to get rid of the spores. When you don't have any spores, you don't get any worms. Question. Does medicine have any methods to get rid of worms? Dr. Parcells. They use strong medications to get rid of them. But that often leaves a person all shaken up and in some ways worse off than they were before. Question. Would you agree that worms can get into any organ in your body? Dr. Parcells. Yes, they usually do. Question. Do people get a lot of worms from raw beef? Parcells. If they want to eat that kind of junk, they deserve the worms. Question. You're maybe one of the few worm-free people I've ever talked to. Parcells. Well, I don't know. I don't think so. There's a lot of them, but there's a lot of them with worms. Everybody has worms. A powerful solution for worms that dates back to 1896. Now, the following section on worms comes from an old book from 1896, which was entitled The Knipp Cure. That's spelled K-N-E-I-P-P, cure. Dr. Knipp was an herbalist, and he recommended many natural remedies. On page 429 of his book, it discusses worms, and he says, among the vermin apt to weaken the human body and cause disorder is the organism roundworm, and other kinds of worms are especially injurious. Now, little children are frequently troubled with them, and if a mother is not careful, they may do much harm. They can form in the rectum. Indigestible food, and especially black bread, are particularly favorite to their formation and growth. Wormwood tea is poison for worms. Worms are generally expelled from the rectum, but sometimes they also come out of the mouth. Symptoms of their presence in your body are great appetite, uneasiness, and pain in the abdomen. Children afflicted with worms are apt to put their fingers in the nose and have a sickly appearance due to the deprivation of nourishment through the worms. Among all worms, the tapeworm is the most dangerous. Here are some remedies against worms. First, cut up an onion and put it overnight in 2 pints of water. In the morning, the juice should be well pressed out and the water drunk on an empty stomach. If this remedy has been used for 3 or 4 days, the worms will certainly be killed and expelled. 2. A spoonful of honey is boiled in 2 pints of water, and this water is taken. The worms drink themselves full of this water, and a cup of wormwood tea, which is poison for them, taken later, will kill them and then expel them. 3. The strongest effect is produced by worm seed, the seed of a plant which has the property of expelling worms. Please note that wormwood and worm seed are two different herbs. 3 thick, long worms come out one day of a woman's mouth. She had been ill for some time and was taking medicine. 2 spoonfuls of worm seed taken 2 hours before breakfast on 2 successive days take effect within about 3 days. No less than 78 long worms were expelled. Editor's note, you can order wormwood and worm seed herbs from the following address. It's called the Herb Shop. Post Office Box 77, Springville, Utah, 84663. You can also order these from the Pennsylvania Herb Company at 603 North 2nd Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19123. Now, any herbalist will have these herbs. You don't have to buy it from these companies here. Just go to your health food store and tell them that you're looking for wormwood to make wormwood tea or worm seed. Remember, these are two different herbs. You can buy onions anywhere. And you can make up this onion tincture and then drink it. Now, this is pretty gross stuff. But remember, if it tastes gross to you, it's just as gross and just as toxic and poisonous to these worms. These are the kinds of herbs that kill the worms. Now, here's a warning from the FDA on raw fish. The following warning from the Food and Drug Administration appeared in the April 5, 1990 copy of the New England Journal of Medicine. The title of the article was More on Making Sushi Safe. Dr. George J. Jackson of the FDA writes the following. The Food and Drug Administration has issued an advisory to state and local regulatory agencies recommending that fish served raw, marinated, or partially cooked should be blast frozen to minus 31 degrees Fahrenheit or below for at least 15 hours or frozen by regular means to minus 10 degrees for 7 days. Sushi is not the only type of fish recipe associated with worm parasites, so says George J. Jackson, Ph.D., from the Food and Drug Administration. This advisory was based on surveys of parasites in fish from U.S. fishing waters. The difficulty of detecting worms visually in fish, such as salmon, with heavily pigmented flesh, the possibility of cross-contamination during processing and storage, and the worm-killing effect of proper freezing. Sushi is not the only type of fish recipe associated with infective worm parasites. Other increasingly popular raw fish dishes include sashimi, ceviche, gravlax, pickled herring, and cold smoked salmon. Insufficiently cooked fillets have also been associated with cases of infection. In addition to roundworms or nematodes, the potentially infected worms found in underprocessed fish in North America include 2 types of flukes and a genus of tapeworm. Freezing fish as described in the FDA advisory seems the more practical safeguard against worms for consumers who do not wish to cook their fish thoroughly. Okay, now there's a thought for you. If you don't want to cook the fish, then freeze the fish to minus 10 degrees, minus 10, for 7 days, or flash freeze it at minus 31 degrees for 1 day. Now, everyone rich and poor, the whole population has parasites. So says Dr. William Kelly. The following interview was conducted with Dr. William Kelly over 10 years ago. It was a classic when it first appeared and is every bit a classic now. Dr. Kelly was a nutritionist from Washington State. Question, do you ever find parasitic infestation in your patients? Kelly, well, in 92% of the people, everybody, rich and poor, the whole population has parasites. It's not restricted to the lower classes at all. Pets are great carriers of parasites, and also vegetables may carry parasitic organisms. Question, what can you do with nutrition to get rid of parasites? Dr. Kelly says, well, nutritionally, you should eat figs and almonds, and also the pancreatic enzymes will help destroy them. There's a nutritional supplement good for worms. It has fig and almond in it. Question, do parasites stay in the colon or do they walk around in other places? Kelly, one day I had a lady who was a little over 5 foot tall. She weighed about 300 pounds. She was on a 400 to 500 calorie diet and starving to death, and she was still big and she was still blobby. And I said to her, lady, you've got so many worms. All you're assimilating is the water, I said. You've got worms. And that just horrified her. Most people are horrified at the fact that they have worms. She took a bottle of special supplements that I gave to her. She was so upset that she went home and took half a bottle. Nothing happened. So she went to her doctor who said, you're a foolish woman, if there ever was one. That Kelly guy is a quack. So they took a stool culture and they could not find any worms. So the lady had the bottle of supplements half done, so she decided to finish the bottle of supplements by taking it regularly. Well, one night she was laying in her bed and she felt a tickling in her throat and she thought that it was mucus. So she went into the bathroom and she coughed it up, put it in a Kleenex, and then turned on the light and looked at it, and then she screamed real loud. She scared her husband half to death. And they found the head and 2 more inches of a tapeworm which had come up in her throat. Lost at times in children particularly, the tapeworm will come through the nose looking for some more to eat. Question. Well, if parasites caused a lady to be unable to lose weight, then I'm sure that they can do other things. Dr. Kelly. Well, parasites mimic a lot of diseases like heart trouble. I found this once. I had a nurse as a patient who had suffered with all kinds of heart trouble and went to doctors for years. She had these heart spells. And I said, you should have gone to the vet. And she said, why is that? Because we found out what is wrong with you. You have heartworms. Most of the stomach aches and colitis could have a parasite involvement. Liver damage and liver trouble can be caused by worms. And sometimes a colony of worms will crawl up in the gallbladder and give you trouble. This can be the problem with some overweight people. Worms. The worms are being well fed. The body is only getting the water and the calories and a fraction of the nutrients. Question. Do people ever have worms coming out when they take enemas? Kelly. Most of the time they do not. Sometimes they do. Sometimes with children they have an evacuation and a whole cup full of pinworms will come out at a time. Now that's quite frightening and it scares most mothers to death. Pancreatic enzymes can digest worms in the colon. They can also travel in the bloodstream to other areas of your body to destroy worms in your body tissue. A lot of times the enzymes digest the worms. You don't see any worms come out. You just feel better. It's simply a methodology for worming yourself. These are called pancreatic enzymes. Now here's another exclusive interview on parasites. Probably everyone walking has roundworms, says a colon therapist in Idaho named Opal. Now Opal is a colon therapist in Idaho, and she was recommended to me by my friend Marge. So I talked to her last week, and she told some amazing stories about worms. This woman lives and breathes worms, and it was really exciting to talk to her. So here's an interview from a second colon therapist, Opal. Question. What do the medical doctors say about worms? Opal. Well, they thought that it was a problem that was in some other country, but now they're finding that we have the same problem here in the United States. One of my patients went into the doctor and she said, why don't you tell us about worms? And he said, who told you you have worms? And the lady said, well, I know I do. I've collected some and that came out of me and I have them out in the car. Now think about that. I've got these worms and I've collected them. They're out in the car. But her doctor says, hey, what makes you think you've got worms? He said he wanted to see them. So she went out to the car and she brought them back into the doctor's office. But the doctor didn't want to come up to the front. Question. You mean he didn't want to see them? Opal. No, he did not want to see them. He was just so upset with her because he thought he could intimidate her. I have a few white worms that I got out of her in a bottle here. Some of them came out looking like white seeds or rice. Others came out like black pepper or sand. You'll see this in the colonic irrigator view tube. You'll see, as the water is being evacuated from the rectum, there will be grains of sand coming through. And those grains of sand are worm eggs. Sometimes you'll see little round or oblong rice-shaped pieces coming through in the clear water that goes out the colonic enema tube. Those are worm eggs. Now, I see more roundworms in people than anything else. Question, what can you tell me about roundworms? Opal. Well, everyone that comes to my office for a colonic talks worms. I talk worms at the breakfast and dinner table. Wherever I go, I talk worms. After all, it's my business. Question. So you see the worms when they come out of the colonic? Opal. Yes, I do. And when people bring them to me on their own, I saw one worm come out that was as long as my table. I have a 6-foot-long table. This came out of one of my girlfriend's sons. I have seen a lot of Ascaris worms. Probably everyone walking has these. These are what we call round worms. And I had one patient who came to me who had 10 days to live. And after her second treatment, she birthed something outside of her rectum. I thought she was giving birth at the rectum. I thought maybe her colon was coming out. I had no idea what this woman's condition was like. But what came out of her looked like lava coming out of her colon. And I kid you not, it was something that was alive. She went to the bathroom and passed 3 toiletfuls of worms. Many of them were black that floated on the water. Many of them were white mucus-like things, all entwined in little balls. I've got some of these in my window. They pull a lot of tissue with them when they come out. Question, do you mean tissue from the colon wall? Opal, that's right. An actual tissue right off of the colon. And question, 3 toilet bowls full? Did I understand that correctly? Opal, 3 toilet bowls full. But she's still alive. Question, how old was she? Opal, 32. Question, that young and only 10 days to live? Opal, well, that's what the doctors told her. Question, what is the youngest patient you've gotten worms out of? Opal, I have a cocaine baby that is 3 months old. She's passing long, long strings of mucus that would gag a cow. And I'm sure some of this contains worms, but I haven't checked them for worms. I got a corkscrew worm once out of a man's ear. Question, have you ever seen any worms come out of the skin? I myself have talked to one woman that did. Opal, yes, I have. I have even seen worms come out of the ear. I clean out people's ears with a special device. Once a corkscrew worm came out of a guy's ear in Las Vegas, Nevada. Question, how big was it? Opal, it was about as big as your little finger. It was all creamy looking with a lot of earwax around it. Question, why would you clean a person's ear out? Opal, to get the yeast and wax out that has accumulated. Many people can hear a lot better after they get their ears cleaned. Question, do you collect a lot of worms that you find in people? Opal, well, I just threw a ton away because they were in the window and I needed room. A lot of my patients bring them in. They'll take a nail or a wooden spoon and tear a piece of stool apart that came out in the toilet. Many people find these long, long worms that have come out. A lot of the worms have hooks on them, which just dig into the mucosa of the colon, especially people who eat lots of pork. Worms can eat the myelin sheath on the nerve endings and cause multiple sclerosis. Question, give me another worm story. Well, Opal said, I had a patient come in for a colonic. The very first time, the whole viewing tube was filled with these little white parasites. Well, he didn't believe me, so I took him off the table and I made him look for himself. In many cases, the worms just hang out of the rectum because they often migrate into the vaginal area or the male penis at night. While we're sleeping, they migrate. Question, I have often wondered about worms in the vaginal area. Opal, that's why these babies are often born with worms. Many of the babies who have the epileptic seizures are full of parasites from birth. Question, why do the worms go into the vagina at night? Opal, they're looking for a place to lay eggs. And on the night of the full moon, they're especially active. And it's big time at the full moon stage, and a lot of people have to scratch their rectum a lot or their nose. Well, that's a sign of worms. And here's another story. I've had MS at one time, multiple sclerosis. I was in bed for 6 years, and my daughter was born with thrush mouth, which is a great indicator that she got it from me in the birth canal. She also had pneumonia, but I carried that yeast with me all of my life, and in my early 30s I came down with multiple sclerosis. Now that I'm smart, I know it was nothing more than candida and worms. I had suffered from constipation as a young child, and at an early age in my life, my bowels locked up, so I had the yeast and the parasite at the same time. So the myelin sheath that covers the nerve endings in your body, the parasites love the protein. That's why they hang out at the ileocecal valve, down by the small intestine. And every time that valve opens, they gain entrance to the small intestine. The villi in the small intestine is where the nutrients are absorbed, and that's where we obtain the nutrients from our food. Now the worms and parasites hang out there so that they can get that good protein from the body. Question. So they eat the protein on the nerves. Opal. They eat the nerve endings, and they eat the myelin sheath of the nerve endings. That's how I got multiple sclerosis. I had no coordination because the parasites were in my brain. Now, pet owners frequently have yellow and red worms. Well, hang on a minute, boys and girls. We'll come back with Opal's interview here. We'll take a look at pets when we come back. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about worms, intestinal parasites that cause things like epilepsy, chronic fatigue syndrome, migraine headaches, and multiple sclerosis, just to name a few. Last time I cited 56 ailments or diseases caused by intestinal parasites. There's probably many more that I don't know about or that aren't in these reports. But now we're up to pet owners. One time my daughter, Cole, she has a couple of dogs. I forgot what they're called now. They're some kind of crazy dog like Rottweilers or something like that, but they're pretty good-sized dogs, and she keeps them in the house, and she and her husband sleep with them. Now, when I was raising my children, we never had pets in the house. I never had pets in the house when I was a child, and the reason for that was parasites. Dogs and cats are unclean animals. And because they're unclean, they carry parasites that are injurious to men. Now, our cattle are infested with parasites, but that's because we have created unnatural environments in what we call in this country agribusiness or animal farms, in which we have animal manufacturing operations. We have reduced agriculture to a manufacturing plant where we have 10,000 pigs or sows in a single unit producing pigs. And as a result, we get a side effect from that. We get animals that are just filled with these parasites, and then we eat these animals, and then we get the parasites. Then, in addition, we have bad nutritional habits, like Big Macs and fast foods. And as a result of that, our immune systems aren't up to full strength. So here we have weakened immune systems. We're being exposed to parasites. The parasites take root in our bodies, and they cause these numerous disease symptoms. And that's, after all, what disease is. It's dis-ease, ill at ease, I feel bad. And they have many different feel-bad diseases or ill at eases that you can suffer from. Let's see a little bit more about pet owners here. Question, do worms go anywhere in the body? Opal. Anywhere. They can bore holes and even get into your bones. They get into the blood. They get into your flesh, your brain, your eyeballs. These various types of worms and parasites are everywhere in people's bodies. Question. I guess you really have to keep your colon pure and drive the worms out. Opal. You have to keep cleaning the colon, because that's where they mainly hatch the eggs. If you keep the colon clean, the breeding will go down. The eggs keep hatching because of the filth. Now, I found that people who have a lot of pets and then sleep with them in the house have different worms than other people. Their worms are different than those that come out of a meat eater. Pet owners often have yellow and red worms, and they're clumped together like the size of a good-sized fist. They're all intertwined. I've got a number of patients where the parasites have bored holes through their skin in their ankles. That's how they gain entry into the body. Question. Well, what happens when a person sleeps with their pet? Opal. The worms and parasites lay the larvae, the eggs, in the sheets. Dogs and cats pick up a lot of parasites from the grass and dirt. Many times the worms crawl in and out of the rectum to lay eggs. The worms are sometimes microscopic, and I can usually tell a person has been sleeping with pets just by what comes out of them. Question. How about mosquito bites? Opal. That's another way to get parasites. The other night a mosquito bit me, and I have a big sore near my ankle. I know he has planted some larvae there. Now, if you eat raw fish, such as sushi, you're almost certain to get worms. Question. What can you say on sushi and worms? Opal. If you ever go fishing, you'll find out when you cut them open, they have tapeworms in them. They're full of worms. I've got a friend who is a chef, and she says that sometimes she puts fish on the grill, and the worms just fly all over. They come right out of the fish. Question. Is there any way to escape the worms if you eat raw fish? Opal. No. There's no way to escape worms in raw fish. Editor's note. We inserted a comment here from Marge. Question. Would you ever eat raw sushi? Marge, the other colon therapist, said, oh, God, no. I doubt there is one piece of sushi that doesn't have worms in it. They all have parasites and worms. I took one of my friends to a sushi restaurant, and I told him to order the dishes without the raw fish. But a year later, he read an article about parasites and raw fish. He was just hysterical. But I'd warned him, no one should eat raw fish. Now, recently, a woman bought some white fish at the market. She washed it in cold water. Then she came back after a few minutes, and she saw a thin black thread on the fish. She was horrified when she saw the black thread move. It was a worm. She was so angry, she took the fish back to the fish market for a refund. The fish salesman said, didn't you know that all fish have worms? So it's a common phenomenon, boys and girls. The world that we live in is filled with parasites. Ticks are parasites. You're not going to live on planet Earth without parasites. Now, there's a way to control the parasites. We're all going to be exposed to them in the same way that we're going to be exposed to bacteria. There are germs out there. Bacteria, viruses. It's a natural phenomenon. It was created by your creator. Everything is created in balance. Everything has a reason for being. God did not make a mistake when he made tapeworms and roundworms and hookworms. These parasites are a part and parcel with the creation. They didn't just evolve. They're not there by accident. They're there by design. You can't have a law without a penalty, and the parasites are the penalty for the violation of the health and food laws in the Bible. You violate the health laws, you violate the food laws, and the parasites are the results. The parasites cause disease. The parasites cause these symptoms. These symptoms are the penalties that we pay for the violation of those laws. It's just that simple. Now, of course, the evolutionist, he comes along, he says, well, I don't believe in God, and I don't believe that that's true. I think that these parasites have simply evolved. Well, okay, for what purpose? What's the purpose of parasites if they just evolved? Everything in the natural world interconnects with everything else in the natural world. Nothing lives or dies of itself. The pilot fish that cleans the shark's teeth is a necessary accoutrement to the shark. He needs the pilot fish. Pilot fish needs the shark. It's what we call a symbiotic relationship. These parasites live in a symbiotic relationship with man and with all of the other creatures in the environment. And when an organism gets weak, the parasites finish the job off and kill it. The evolutionist calls it survival of the fittest. It's a design mechanism. Keeps the strongest and law-abiding alive and reproducing. And the weakest, sickest, and criminal elements are destroyed. Parasites are not good guys for us, but they're necessary and imperative for us to keep us alive and well. Sounds like a paradox. You see, if you didn't have these parasites over here, then you wouldn't have the symptoms. If you didn't have the symptoms, then you wouldn't stop eating the bad food. Now, somebody needed to tell you, and God didn't fail. He said, don't eat these unclean foods. Don't eat unclean meat. We came along one day and said, God doesn't know what he's talking about, so we'll just go ahead and eat what we want to. Then we get the symptoms. It should be a wake-up call to us, but it hasn't been so far. It's kind of like that Hurricane Katrina. You know, somebody ought to wake up and say, hey, geez, this is pretty bad news. You're entitled to rain in due season. A hurricane ain't exactly rain in due season, boys and girls. It's a natural phenomenon that occurs for the violation of laws. So we go down here and we destroy the wetlands around New Orleans and then wonder why it is that New Orleans gets flooded. Just an aside, you know, just throwing out a little obvious cause and effect relationship. Parasites are the natural effect of bad diet and bad hygiene. They're there, and your body ought to deal with them. And in many cases, people's bodies deal with them. I think my body does a pretty good job of dealing with parasites. I give it a little help every now and again. I eat a little walnut tincture, or take a little garlic or something like that to kill some extra worms down there. I'm not suffering from any real adverse effects of the worms, but I've got worms in my body just like you have worms in your body, and they should be controlled. You ought to get on top of that and worm yourself every once in a while. That's the purpose for this series of stories here concerning parasites. I see people all the time that are sick, weak. Guy came in here the other day and he's got jaundice. Jaundice isn't normal. So he probably has cancer of the liver. Cancer of the liver? Why? What's wrong with his liver? It's probably full of liver flukes. His liver can't function. And because his liver can't function properly, he's got yellow skin. He's got jaundice. Now, if I said, hey, you, come over here, let me explain this to you, the guy would be offended. I don't tell people things they don't want to know, don't want to hear, and shouldn't be concerned with. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not out here on a soapbox knocking on people's doors and going from door to door and proselytizing and trying to get people to listen to the story. I don't care whether people have jaundice or not. I don't care if you've got worms. It's no skin off my back. It didn't harm me any. But I think that people ought to have both sides of the story. I think somebody ought to tell you, you know, here, let me tell you the story about parasites. That's what I'm doing this week. Next week, I'll tell you the story about something else. You ought to be informed whether you ever take action or not. It's a choice that you have to make. I'm not here to tell you to go worm yourself. I don't care if you got worms or not. I don't care if you have epilepsy, muscular dystrophy, or chronic fatigue syndrome, or migraine headaches. But when I hear people complain about these symptoms over here, they're just something that triggers me. And I say, gosh, I guess this guy's ignorant, doesn't know. I guess he's never heard this story before. Well, let's take a look here. If you eat raw fish, sushi, you're almost certain to get worms. Now, how about sex? How about sex, AIDS, and worms? How can anyone have sex again without thinking about the problem of getting infected by someone's worms or parasites? Opal. Just kissing is enough. One person can easily transfer spores from one person to another, but some of the highest worm populations are in the anal area. Question. You told me that worms and parasites often hang out of the anal area. Why is that? Opal. Because it's dark and dirty. That's the environment that worms love. It keeps them growing. There are 30-some chemicals that are byproducts of food, and they accumulate at the anal opening and all through the colon. Parasites love it. Now, another thing to remember is that AIDS is a parasite that is passed through the rectum. And then, where does it go? Well, it goes straight to the lungs. People don't die of some side effect from the genital area. They die from some complication from the lung. The parasites migrate to the lungs, and they lay eggs, 20, 30, 50,000 eggs every 20 minutes. So when your immune system is weakened, the worms run rampant. It's a vicious circle. Now, here's a comment from Marge. Remember this question. It seems that a person should be very careful about sleeping with a partner who isn't dewormed. Marge, not just dewormed. I would be concerned about sleeping with a garbage can. People reek. They even stink when I work on them. So if you've got worms, you may have, you know, a bad odor problem. A bad odor problem. Now, worms and body odor. Let's take a look here at worms. You know, people get real concerned about body odor, and they run out and they buy antiperspirants, and they want to wear perfumes and cover up the stink. They want to cover up the smell. Well, worms are parasites, and they live in dirty bodies, and dirty bodies are caused by poor hygiene. And it isn't just that you're not taking enough baths or enough showers. Inside of your body, you know, you've got a worm over here working away, a tapeworm or something like that. And this tapeworm over here causes bad odors, causes bad smells. I remember our boy Dirk over here, he'd have an epileptic seizure, and you could smell that seizure. I mean, you could come in the room, and you could tell that boy had an epileptic seizure. We call it epilepsy. It's just a worm in his brain is what causes it. But he would give off a bad odor. And then you could smell that. And you'd say, well, now the boy doesn't have the symptoms anymore. He doesn't have the epilepsy. Now he doesn't have the odor. So if you got a bad smell and you're real concerned about that, or somebody else around you says, hey, you smell bad, you might consider that, maybe I've got worms and these worms are causing me to have this bad odor. Opal, I can usually smell meat-eating people who have parasites in them. Question, what do they smell like? Opal, well, they smell bad. Like they're being eaten away. I myself have been deworming for a long time. That's one of the main reasons I don't have any body odor. Question. So that odor is caused by the worms. Opal, that's right. The worms also cause the body to produce a lot of mucus. Arthritis can be caused by a parasite from dogs. Question. Do you remember the first patient you saw worms in? Opal. This guy was about 7 foot tall, and he hung over both ends of the table. At the end of 15 minutes of treatments, he said he had to get off the table. He said he had to go to the bathroom. Which was a normal feeling. Well, he didn't make it. All these squiggly things were all over the floor, so I grabbed the mop bucket and put it under him. He filled the mop bucket about half full. It was all full of worms and parasites. Question, what did it look like? Opal, they looked like earthworms. Some of them were 3 inches and longer. Once I had my colon business at the back of a shoe store. I had this little arthritic lady who came in at night, and I didn't have the machine set up right, and I didn't have the best plumbing. And I came in the shoe store the next morning, and I saw this long worm that had passed out of this woman the night before. It had crawled out of the sewer, and it crawled all the way over this long hall in front of all my sofas. It was dead, but it had crawled about 10 or 12 feet out of the colonic irrigator and across the floor. Well, how did the worm crawl out of the sewer? Well, the sewer line didn't have a cap on it, and the worm must have been about 14 inches long. It was reddish brown like an earthworm. Question. And you know it came from this lady. I saw it the night before. I saw it go through the pipe, but I didn't flush the sewer line that night. Question. Well, do people who have arthritis have worms? Opal. Well, they sure do. It gets in the joints and it eats up the calcium. Question. How can you eat dinner with all of this knowledge? Opal. Oh, I eat right in the room in which I give treatment. It doesn't bother me anymore. I just get to the point where it doesn't bother me. You become immune to it, and you just expect worms. And you know what we have done. We have cleaned out shelves. Ourselves up on the outside. We're living in nice clean homes, driving nice looking cars. We look clean, but we have never cleaned ourselves up inside. That's why everyone is full of worms. So let me make an observation here. You know, when I was a kid, worms were common. Everybody knew that they had worms, and everybody would deworm themselves. Now, that was back in the 1940s and 1950s. Well, now here we are in the year 21st century, in the year 2000. Everybody goes to college today. Everybody is well educated. Nobody knows anything about parasites and worms. Nobody hears anything about it. I don't see this on the 6 o'clock news. I don't see anybody talking about research and parasites and the connecting link between parasites and epilepsy, or parasites and cancer, or parasites and heart disease, or parasites and migraine headaches. Not a word. Nobody ever talks about it. And again, as I pointed out, it's because there's no money in it. And we want to get into businesses that produce money, that produce revenue. Doctors are no different than anybody else. I've mentioned this a time or two, but during the past 20 years, the consumption of soda pop has doubled. And the rate or the number of people that have diabetes has doubled. Now, that'll tell us a little story. We call that anecdotal evidence. And we dismiss it. You know, doctors, they say, well, there haven't been any double-blind or triple-blind tests made and studies made, and therefore it's just simply anecdotal and it's just nonsense. That probably is to the scientific people over there, but to just plumbers and carpenters and ordinary folk like us, you know, we look at numbers like that and we say, Jesus. If people have doubled the consumption of soda pop, and at the very same time diabetes has doubled, the very least we should do is to make some comparisons. We should take a look at the people who have diabetes. Do you drink soda pop? There's probably a number of those people that got diabetes that never have drank a soda pop in their entire life. You know, there might be 5 or 10 of them. So it's pretty obvious that if you got diabetes and you never drank a soda pop in your lifetime, that you didn't get diabetes from soda pop. On the other hand, if you looked at 1,000 people and 990 of them drink soda pop at various quantities, and they got diabetes, and 10 people didn't get diabetes that drank a lot of soda pop, I think you could draw a correlation. You could say, hey, listen, diabetes and soda pop have an affinity for one another. And the same thing is true with these parasites. When we take a look at these parasites and we take a look at the diseases, and then you, like my boy here, you get rid of the parasites, you get rid of the epilepsy. That ought to tell you something, shouldn't it? Parasites, do they cause epilepsy? Maybe not in every case, but they certainly do in many cases. Many cases. Hey, I'm about out of time. I got to wrap it up. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll take a look at solutions next. What do you do to get rid of worms? What do you do to get rid of these 56 symptoms caused by internal parasites? That's next time on the Law Hour. All right, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Except we've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.